This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, San Diego. Still getting our lives in order in here as we have the line change from Craig and Annie to...
Hold on, I'm way behind you. I haven't even put my headset on. I haven't turned my microphone on.
I don't have my computers out.
No.
Somehow this jump started us. I didn't know that this was happening.
We got on a little quicker than we expected.
Hello,
hi guys. We start at 2 every day.
I know. That's the funny part is that we do start at 2 every day.
Listen to you over there.
I'm always on time.
Were you ready?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Absolutely not. Yeah.
Anyway, how's everybody doing today? Padres get their first series victory of the season.
Yeah, they got to have at least one before you can get a second one, right?
Right.
That was good. I'm just proud of my man, Mr. Scraby, and we'll talk about it a little later, Tony, because I know you.
No. Let's talk about. Let's talk about that now.
You're gonna have to get going to the ball game up in L.A. So we only have you for a couple hours. But my man, Mr. Scraby, yesterday did a wonderful job hosting, I would say, 25 to 30. Now, I might be speaking out of school here because perhaps there's a limit on how many people you're supposed to have in the suite.
Chris, you know who I am, and I counted
we were
under capacity.
You were under capacity. Yes. Wait, the fire marshal is not going to be calling you.
No.
But no, we hosted like 25, 30 listeners yesterday. It was actually he hosted them.
You were there too.
I came by for a few of the last several innings.
Don't deflect.
Okay, fine.
Just take these compliments on the chin right now.
That's right. The thing that was, the thing was, there was no bells and whistles. It was just a, come to the game, come up, sit in the suite with the Scraby Chronicles. And by the way, I asked to a person, pretty much every listener that was there yesterday, whether they think you should officially change the name of the show to the Scraby Chronicles, and they all said yes. Those are your own people.
You're campaigning for it?
I was campaigning for it, but I didn't have to campaign. They all agreed that it should be called the Scraby Chronicles.
It is a great name.
But it was just fun. I mean, we had the best time yesterday, and the reason I say that, Tony, is because it was 25 or 30 people that were all, in my estimation, grateful to be there. And it was all because the Scraby put it together and got the suite and gave away the tickets and the prizes. But the people there were so gracious, and it was it's a nice reminder that there's some nice people out there still who come to Padre baseball. And you know what? Not all of us. It's a privilege to get to go to a ball game is what I'm trying to get to, I guess. A lot of it, I think, we forget that. You know, we just show up to the game and, figure we can yell and scream at everybody. And you know what? No, it's a privilege to be able to come on out on a beautiful day in San Diego and see a ball game. And that reminded me of that yesterday.
Yeah, first, kudos to you, Scrape.
Thank you.
I'm still irritated you never came by to say hello yesterday as you were in the stadium. But after you explained yourself, I'll give you a pass.
Thank you.
When I saw the picture this morning, I was blown away. Like, that was a lot of people that you hosted. And I think it's a testament to you, Mr. Scraby, and the Scraby Chronicles and your kind of new following you got going right now.
The Scrabinators.
The Scrabinators.
They
like
love this guy, Tony. I couldn't even get them to jump in line with me,
Chris,
and, make fun of him. I mean, everything was just how great he is.
But you know what I got most is people...
Don't deflect.
No, I'm not deflecting.
Okay.
Well, I am kind of deflecting.
Yeah, I knew you were, by the sound you
because
had a deflecting voice.
I think we left there on such a high because the Padres were so awesome. I don't know if we're leaving there on that big of a high if it's 5-1 loss.
I disagree.
You disagree.
I flatly disagree.
Okay, all right.
Because everyone was having a really good time before they put that game away. I mean, you know, it was a little window dressing to win the game, 10-2?
Yeah.
And I didn't really get a chance to watch a lot of the game because we were just having a nice time talking with everybody. But, you know, Crony hits the home run. Profar hits the home run. We had such a good... Our suite is right there down that right field. But we have a view down the right field line.
Yeah, we had
I don't know about you, Tony,
views.
But I wasn't sure that either guy was 100% certain they had a home run on those... on those fly balls, but you could just see they would not go foul. They both stayed fair, and it was a great, great moment. But I think everybody would have had a good time win or lose. They had a better time because the Padres won, but I don't think that was imperative.
Well, I appreciate that, Chris.
So you did a good job, and it was a nice day. And I just want to thank the people more.
Yeah.
I'm thanking them more than you because you got them there.
No, absolutely.
But they made it, you know, really fun afternoon.
Yesterday we had Dylan and his lovely wife brought their 9-month-old daughter, her first baseball game. We had one of my friends, and he brought his son, who is 4 years old, who loves Fernando Tatis Jr., and he, like, screamed for Fernando anytime he was on the field.
And who also, once he was introduced to me, I believe his name was Weston.
That would be Brandon's
son. That was another
son.
Oh, well.
Oh, those two kids were really pumped up, too.
Weston was very pumped up, and I don't know, I must have had something on my chin, but he couldn't stop staring at me. He's 4 years old, and he kept looking at me.
He's like,
and
who's
I'm like,
that?
What? What is it? What did I do?
Who's that guy with the crazy
who's
hair?
Who's that weird guy there?
He's just, who kind of looks like he spent the last hour and a half trying to find a parking spot.
Oh, that's another story.
I gotta say something.
I can imagine parking wasn't great yesterday.
Well, when you have, you got the credential to get into the MTS lot. But if you don't get there by the second or third inning, that MTS lot is closed.
Yeah.
And once it's closed,
they ain't opening back
up. Good luck. Good luck. There's nowhere to go.
Two things, and then we can move on, and I'll talk about more on the Scravy Show. But Chris got a lot of really positive reviews from everyone. They told me secretly behind his back, hey, man, I thought Chris was going to be really kind of mean, but the nicest person here in this suite. And I'm like, yes, he is. He's a really nice person.
You know what? You know what? Don't give it away, Scraby. Don't give it away. I don't want people listening to the show to think I'm nice out there.
Oh, man. The other thing is when Sam Levitt walked into the room.
Oh, that was
a star.
Moment. He is.
He's a star.
I'm not kidding when I tell you about 8 people went over to say hi to Sam. And Sam is gracious as always, coming by in a busy work day.
Sam is like the Padres' personal Ken Rosenthal.
Wait. Oh.
That's how our fan base looks at him.
They love him.
Yeah.
They love him.
I saw him walking around in the field after the game after he did an interview, and he was in a hurry because, you know, he had to go do his post-game show. People kept yelling at him from the stands, and he didn't want to be mean, so he was stopping to talk to them, and then he was trying, you know how you're trying to get where you got to go,
but
you don't want to be rude, so you're pulled in two different directions.
See, if we're patting everyone on the back right now, which sounds like we kind of are.
Why not?
Tony got some really great stories, too, because they were telling me stories, and you know what's great about hearing Tony's stories is they're always different. But I guess you were getting an acai bowl one day, and someone, like, screamed your name, and you turned around, and you came back, and you said hello to them, and they were just blown away that you would even come back to say hello to them. So
yeah, Tony's that kind of guy.
It's part of responsibility.
You're giving away way too many secrets, Scrape.
All right, let's get into some baseball.
Yeah, let's get into some baseball. I'm uncomfortable enough.
Yeah, we've got a lot of padding on the back. It's time to get to some hard-hitting sports talk.
Yes, that's what people tune in for, the hard-hitting sports talk.
While Scraby finishes getting ready for the show.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Are we ever going to be on the YouTube channel today?
Padres get the victory yesterday. They did it in a way that was encouraging.
Yeah.
One inning that got them back. They pretty much scored every other inning.
Around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was cricket numbers across the board. They didn't have one inning in which they only scored one run.
Yeah. They piled on a little bit.
They did.
And that's always nice to pile on. And, you know, look, all I can say right now, Jerks and Profar is looking like, you know, Ted Williams out there. And, you know, I'm excited. I'm so happy for him. And I was the one of the ones that was casting shade on, you know, can Jerks and Profar, you know, get this job done as a number six hitter. Now he's a number five hitter in this lineup every day. I don't know. What's his OPS, 1100? I mean, it's crazy good right now. And you brought it up the other day. He's having good at-bats, but he's getting results now.
Yeah.
And the only thing this is not a knock at all on anybody, but when his turn came around in the order yesterday, I didn't know he had come out of the game. I was looking forward to see if he could go four for four and go for the cycle. But Mike Schilt's worried about other things, which is winning the ball game. And he had his Okar in for defensive purposes. But yeah, Jerkson right now, fantastic. And I say, if you're the Padres, you secretly keep making it think like Tommy Pham is an option. Because I just think that is great motivation for Jerks and Profar. Not that he can't get motivated on his own. But Jerks and Profar doesn't want a move made. He wants to stay left field all year long. And he's playing like, there's no need to get Tommy Pham as long as he does this.
I 100% agree with everything you said. The baseball person in me has to caution that it is April 11th.
Oh, yeah. No, I need
long way
I
to
get
go.
That. I get
but,
that.
He said something after the game that I don't know. It hit me, or it made me kind of look at it a little bit differently. He was talking about. I assume the question came, and it was asked to him something along the lines of, "Why is it that he's having so much success here?" And he said something that I thought was interesting. He said, "It feels like home to me, like." It feels like he wasn't talking about like some. He's talking about Curacao, and what I do know is that a lot, in my experience at least, a lot of the Latin players that are coming from overseas, when they go back, specifically like winter ball, when the Dominican players go back and play in Dominican, that's when they are in their best element. Venezuelans, the same thing.
That's their home. They're relaxed. They sleep in their own bed.
They know what...
That type of thing.
He said the atmosphere here is much like it is...
Really?
...back at home.
Interesting.
And I didn't... You know, I had never... That thought never crossed my mind.
That San Diego might just make you feel good.
There may be a reason why he has performed better here in the last 2-3 years than he has anywhere else. Yeah. Outside of the big year he had in Oakland where he had the 20-plus
home runs. I think he had 20 2 years in a row. Tony. He's fantastic right now. Honestly, we were talking about it on the roundtable this morning. Ben Higgins asked us, who's been the biggest surprise? Who's most likely to keep it up? And he said, is it Jurickson? Is it Luis Campusano? And is it Jackson? Or is it Jackson Merrill? And it just got me to thinking. That is your, at least until the change was made, that's your 6, 7, and 9 hitters.
Right.
That's why this team's winning what they're doing
now. That's a great thought.
6, 7, and 9 hitters are all your biggest surprises right now. And that's the good news. The bad news is you're getting this kind of production that maybe you didn't expect. You know, you'd like to take a little more advantage of it in the win-loss department.
The reason why they aren't taking advantage of the win and loss, because you look into outside of yesterday where the middle of the lineup pretty much did all of the damage between Manny, Profar, and Kim.
Right.
Those two, specifically Manny and Ha-Sung, are off to a cold start.
Yeah, they haven't got it into gear yet.
The 1-3, having a pretty good go of it right now.
Doing well.
6-9... depending on when 6 was, because before 6 was Profar, now Profar has slid up to the fifth spot. But 6-9, swinging a bat, they're getting enough production from
even
those
the
guys.
Year that they went to the NL Championship Series, you almost could go out of the room when 6-9 came up to the up to the plate. You didn't expect a rally.
Yeah.
Well, this year 6-9 has been the rally.
The year they won, right, or the year they got to the National League Championship Series. They got there because the lower
Those
part of the lineup started getting hot.
Those guys got hot. But, I could, you know, we've said it, even when I was trying to cast shade, and I'm not going to say that anymore because I'm making myself look bad. Jerkson's still one of your, he has to always be one of your favorite players.
Yeah.
He's just the friendliest, happy-go-luckiest guy. To see him having this kind of success is really, really rewarding.
You know why I like it the most is because this is one time it feels like the fans really, really wanted somebody, and then they got him. And then he's actually, you're being rewarded for it at this point. It don't usually work like that, but it's good to see Jerkson doing his thing. Padres, I thought, got an important series victory. They finally got their first one after, four series? Dodgers.
Their fourth series. Well, the Giants. One in Korea is a two-game series. Okay, so they had four series. They had gone, lost two and tied two.
Tied two.
Yeah.
So Padres head to Los Angeles, go up north here tonight. We'll play a three-game set. I don't think we're going to see Glasnow.
They're going to miss Glasnow,
which is a really good thing.
Glasnow, the way he pitched last time out, you don't want to see him.
Not even last time out. He's been mowing everyone down.
Yeah, Yamamoto is first up, Scrabby, your favorite for the Dodgers on Friday night.
I knew he was going to be okay, but it was just great seeing that first game. Well, if only Tony knew how I felt when I woke up that morning when he was in Korea and I was like checking my phone and I saw Yamamoto give up five runs and he didn't even make it out of the first. I was like,
the happiest guy on earth. There he is.
You are hilarious. All right. The guys have a full show for you today. I'm only going to be here for about half of it. But in this first hour, Jillian Albiati will join us. CSU San Marcos softball / baseball. I don't know if you guys saw this story. This young lady was able to compete in both. That was was it yesterday? Day before yesterday?
No, it was weekend.
Or it was the weekend. It was over the weekend.
Yep.
We had to have her on. That's a feat that I don't know has ever been done before, right?
Played in both games in the same day.
Same day.
First person to do it in NCAA Division II history.
I would think.
Yeah.
Plays baseball and softball.
Yes.
Both
in the
teams
same day. And
Cal
she pitched
San Marcos.
Baseball
she pitched
too,
in baseball.
So you know she's throwing heat.
So we had Scraby did a great job getting her on today. We're going to talk to her later in this hour. We'll have that round table for you. The last hour of the show.
It was good
today. It was really good.
Yeah, it was very good. And if you're a Padre fan and you haven't heard about the roundtable, you need to make it kind of an appointment now every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. And if you can't listen to it then, you'll be able to hear it between 5 and 6 p.m. But it is full of Padre stuff from all of the hosts here. So make sure you put it on your calendar moving forward.
And then a Scraby Chronicles.
And then the Chronicles.
I don't even need to promote the Chronicles. Your people will be there.
You know, my
I'm
daily
convinced
gripe.
Of that.
We're speaking it into existence. Literally, as we speak, the Chronicles it's going to happen.
Did I just say Scraby Chronicles?
He called it the Chronicles, I think, for the first time.
Oh, good.
Usually,
he
purposely
pushes
says,
back.
Is that a Freudian slip?
No.
And that wasn't Freudian.
You're coming around to the right way of thinking.
My daily gripe, I'm going to tease it really early. It has to do with Manny Machado bobbleheads, and I'll tell you why during the Scraby Show.
Let's get to break. When we return, Shohei Ohtani, not guilty. I'll explain on the other side. More Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, this is a very busy Thursday. A lot going on. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Gwynn and Chris. 97.3 The Fan. Going to get to Shohei Ohtani in a second. Looks like he's going to be completely exonerated, though, from the gambling mess. Before we get to that, though, how about Bryson DeChambeau? Scraby, I know you love this guy. Dominating at the Masters today in round one with a 7-under par 65.
It's not good.
Wow.
It's not good. Live guy winning. Can't have it.
Hello, Live face. Guy. Yeah, that's right. He's a Live guy. Scottie Scheffler's only 3 shots back at minus 4, and he's still on the course. So, I mean, that guy's been unbelievable. But give a... I kind of hope a Live guy wins. I was totally opposite of that for the longest time. But my feeling is that if a Live guy wins the Masters, it will quicken up.
Bring these guys together
pace,
a little bit faster.
Getting these guys back together again. The PGA Tour is going to get to a point where they say we have to,
if that's the case,
you know, join them up.
If that's the case, I'm down.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a big DeChambeau fan, but I just want to see them get everybody back together. Golf is not good without that.
I will say I am not going to be mad if a Live guy wins. I'm just mad at golf. I really am. The Masters hasn't seemed like the Masters to me. It's just everybody's mad at each other. Live golfers, PGA Tour golfers going back and forth. It's just not fun.
You don't like to see...
The professional people, the people that ran the professional ranks ruined golf.
You don't like to see little rich people fight with each other?
No.
Little rich people.
How long have you known me, Chris?
Little rich people.
I know you don't like that. Tiger Woods, by the way, had a birdie on the first hole and is currently even par through 5. So an all right start for Tiger. Phil Mickelson shot not bad for Phil. I mean, this guy's what, 53 years old now?
Something like that.
1 over par, 73 for Mickelson today. So we'll keep a little eye on the Masters as that goes along here. Round number one at Augusta. And I don't know that we should get a whole lot further into the show, although it seems like it needs a couple of segments to at least mention, if you hadn't heard, the passing of O.J. Simpson today.
Yes.
And at the age of 76, I think that elicits a lot of different reactions from a lot of different people.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll spend a little more time with that later. Family announced that he passed away today at the age of 76. And I just, my only quick thought was the chase, the Bronco chase, the whole thing, 30 years ago, 1994. That puts everything in a time capsule for you.
I can tell you where I was.
Most people can.
It's one of those moments. I remember my dad, Derek Bell, Ricky Gutierrez had just come back from a fishing trip.
Okay.
And they like turned on the TV.
What is going on?
They were hearing about it on the radio at the time.
Yeah, right.
That's awesome. So they came in tired. I remember my dad turning on. I just remember seeing a Bronco, not quite understanding everything that was happening.
No.
Just, why is this camera's just following this Bronco? And then you kind of hear the conversation.
And it followed that Bronco for about 4 hours, and I don't think anybody watching even so much as got up to use the restroom.
Nope.
No, I know this has been said many times,
well,
but pizza
sales. Partly because, and this shows you how far we've come with social media, that we're so desensitized now to the stuff we see, because the report was that he had a gun to his head.
Right.
And I felt like
something could happen at any moment.
That's why everybody stayed
dialed
in.
That's exactly right.
I don't know that that would be the case. We would just wait till
somebody would shoot him a text and go, what are you doing?
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, pizza sales through the roof.
And pizza sales?
Yes. Domino's like reports that they had record-breaking pizza sales because people were so glued to their TV for this chase.
Well,
and I believe it interrupted an NBA Finals game.
It didn't interrupt the game. The game continued.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It's not like they stopped the game. But the channel, which I think was NBC at the time, was telecasting, was the Knicks and the Rockets in the NBA Finals, Game 5.
Oh, Michael had retired.
Had retired, so you could do this. Michael was not playing that year. It was Knicks and Rockets. They put it up in a postage stamp little corner of the screen.
That's right.
So if you were watching the Bronco, you could barely peer up there and see what was going on in the NBA Finals game.
That's right.
That's how big the OJ chase
was. What would we do? Because I saw this.
Incredible. incredible.
I saw this around Twitter, but what would we do as a society now? Would we be angry that the Chase was take the sporting event?
I don't know. We would be angry about something.
Something.
And it would be the next it would be the next day that we'd figure out what like, we'd angry about.
It would be like the Chase was too slow for everybody or something.
Right.
Yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit later on, but real quick on Ohtani, looks like he's in the clear, Tony. I mean, with the federal agents have kind of released some of their findings, and basically the interpreter's going to take the hit. And from the reports I'm reading, he's going to basically surrender and plead guilty to stealing this money from Shohei Ohtani. Now, whether you want to believe that that's whatever it is. You know, I mentioned it from the beginning. Most of the things I had heard were that Shohei was going to be off scot-free, and it looks like that's the case.
I mean, this is how I heard the story the following day it happened. And
because
so,
the Dodgers were here. You were all in Korea.
All in Korea. So I told you guys the story about Jesse and I coming out, and the owners who are never there after a game, especially game one, were like, just seemed to be out of sorts.
Yeah.
I heard the story exactly the way the feds are reporting it, basically.
Yeah.
And I said that from, I would wait to see what they said first, because you knew they had already been on this before we knew about it, and that they were going to get to the bottom of it. And the mere fact that, you know, what's in there is an affidavit? What do you call that?
An affidavit? Yeah.
Is that what chartered, their little report that they let
Let's just go with
today?
It.
We'll
Let's
go with
just,
that.
Yeah.
I know nothing about the law, so don't ask me.
That, you know, apparently the interpreter was turning off, knew how to, had access enough to turn off alerts so that whatever money he was sniping out of...
it didn't show up anywhere.
Didn't alert Ohtani.
So Shohei really did have no idea.
That's what the report is.
You know, it is possible that he had no idea.
Yeah.
I know in this day and age, we're talking about the OJ thing, but in this day and age, we have to believe that he knew.
Right.
And it's possible he did not know, and that it seems to be the case. So unless you have to go down the Scraby conspiracy road now, Ohtani alone right here.
That's exactly your road. You know that.
I have said this a million times. I don't think Shohei Ohtani is guilty of betting on baseball. I don't think he's guilty of paying off a bookie. But I do think the time frame is very quick, and I think it's a little convenient that Ipe is just like, oh, I'm guilty on all charges. And if they're really saying that he was gambling up to 25 separate times a day at points, that would be hard for me to believe that no one around him knew that he had this gambling problem. That would be very hard for me to believe.
It's just him and Ohtani.
Yeah, but he's in the clubhouse, like... No one ever saw him on his phone, like, betting?
Let me ask. So I'm going to keep it a buck for you guys. For a second. It's not as though the interpreter is, like, in most cases, is, like, the most talking person in the locker. It's not like he got a locker in the regular locker room.
It's not like while Mookie Betts is lacing up his cleats, the interpreter's jumping up and down in the corner disrupting things.
But what I'm saying is when I came to the end of my alcoholism...
Hey, what's going on over there? Mookie Betts is like, hey, trying to get ready for the game over here.
At the end of my alcoholism, there was zero shot of me pulling the wool over anyone's eyes. And it sounds like Ipe, if he really stole up to $16 million to gamble,
it would be hard for me to believe that. And I defer to you on this because I've never been an addict.
Thank you. I would like gambling, to answer
your question. This is going to be a great call.
Alcohol, definitely when you drink alcohol.
You hide it from everybody.
You might hide the alcohol, but most time, when you're drunk or when you've been drinking, it's going to be noticeable. What is the tell for gambling other than you running out of money? Are you stealing money or like...
Someone who is acting erratically a little bit
is that a gambling game?
I think Tony's got the thing here. People that are addicts, I'm telling you, but you hide stuff. People hide their bottles behind couches.
Yes.
Right? Yes, they
so
do.
People become but, you become almost an expert at lying and cheating and protecting yourself.
Absolutely.
So maybe that's what this guy was
but
doing.
But no one found Ipe's bottle behind the couch because my bottles were always found
on
the
cell
the couch.
Phone now. Like so, he didn't have to like he didn't have to have an extension or any other thing. He's just doing it from his cell.
Someone
and apparently, it doesn't look like he bet on any baseball at all.
I believe that. I do. Someone on the chat says he gambled over $100 million. I don't know if that's true or
I
not.
I saw a different
$16
number.
$16 million
is what I saw.
$100 million is insane. And I don't also think that Shohei probably ever looks at his bank account. He has someone that does that for him, and it probably was Ipe.
Exactly. So therefore, it's probably easy to keep this thing hit.
I got to tell you something. I know she doesn't, but my wife could gamble hundreds of thousands of dollars on sports, and I would never know. I don't look at the stuff. I'm being honest with you. I mean, she could have a $50,000 bet on tonight's Frozen Four hockey game, for all I know. Wouldn't have a clue. All right, we got to take a break. Sorry. Coming back with this really, I think it's going to be a really interesting interview. Jillian Abayati from the CESU, Cal State San Marcos, played softball, baseball, Division II, both levels on the same day. We'll find out about it next.
2:41 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, Gwynn and Chris. Just finished. We were supposed to talk about Ohtani. I don't know that
we didn't get into it too much.
We never really got into it that much, but we'll have to put all that aside for a sec for our next guest. Jillian Abayati joins us on Gwynn and Chris. She pulled off a tremendous feat over the weekend, played in a softball game, pitched in a baseball game, collegiate baseball game. And we felt like she deserved a platform today to come on here and talk to us a little bit about, because this is an awesome, awesome feat. Jillian, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Thank you guys so much for having me.
So has this been something at the top of your list in terms of wanting to accomplish? I am amazed at you being able to pull this off. This is really fascinating.
Yeah, this has definitely been like one of my goals for my baseball career, and I'm glad I've been able to achieve it.
Well, if you guys are wondering, she played for the softball team on Sunday, and she normally plays third base, does some pitching. And then the baseball team was short going into their baseball game. Some players were hurt, and her softball manager said, "Hey, you guys ought to bring Jillian in to pitch." And they did, and it was a smart move.
Yeah,
I'm looking at some of her numbers. She was an all-CIF pitcher with a 20-0 career high school record and a 1.68 ERA. Glad I didn't have to hit against her. Jillian, you want to softball has always been there for the young ladies. Sounds to me like you're really interested in trying to blaze the trail for baseball. I don't want to say one over the other, but how important for you to try and make some more inroads in baseball for women?
Yeah, I think it's a big thing for me. It's something that's really special for me to get the opportunity to go out there and compete. It's something I've always dreamed of. It's been one of my goals, and I think it's just amazing about like what women can do in sports and women in baseball as well. It's just growing and growing and growing.
Seems like that's really the case across sports, you know, all across sports, at least in the women's area. Seems like everything is starting to finally get the notoriety it deserves. Jillian, now, do you pitch in softball as well?
No, I've never pitched in softball.
Okay, so you play position softball, you pitch on the baseball mound. What's your repertoire in terms of what pitches do you throw?
So I got a fastball that likes to cut, and then I got a curveball and a changeup.
Wow.
Now, when did you get interested in pitching, and who was it who kind of brought you aside and said, you know, I think you ought to do a little pitching, and we're not talking softball, Jillian, we want you in baseball. Who kind of put that thought in your head?
Well, I've always played baseball my whole life. I've been playing it since I was like 3 years old, so it's all I've ever known.
Okay.
You know, I barely started playing softball my junior year of high school, but still continued to do baseball as well. So I think it's just all I've ever known. I started pitching when I was like 8 years old, so it's always been there. It wasn't something that was brand new to me.
Now, Jillian, what's next now? What's the schedule look like for you this coming weekend? Are you going to have another opportunity to pitch in a baseball game this weekend, or what does your schedule look like?
Yeah, so I just got told right after practice today that I made the roster to travel this weekend to Cal Poly Pomona.
Wow. That's awesome.
So, yeah, we're also traveling for softball, so I'll be at softball Friday, Saturday, and head over Saturday night to Pomona.
Jillian Albiotti, man, she's the first woman Division II ever to play both softball and baseball the same day at Cal State and San Marcos right here in our backyard. Jillian, it's a hard question to ask, but as a young lady pitcher, did you ever feel like there were some extra eyes upon you and people saying, and you feeling like maybe you had to prove to other people, hey, look, just don't look at me as a young lady, just look at me as a pitcher?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, going out there, you're like the only girl on the team. Obviously, I've gotten used to it over the years. It's become my normal. But yeah, there's always going to be extra eyes on you. You know, people are always watching. But I just go out there and I'm just like a baseball player. I just go out there and want to play, want to throw, want to win. You know, it's not like I'm going out there to throw strikes and not just to prove like that, oh, I'm a girl, I can do it, but like I've worked really hard to and put in the extra work to prove that I am capable of, you know, competing.
Jillian Albiotti joins us here on Gwen and Chris. 2:46 on the clock. Jillian, how do your teammates take to this? How have your softball teammates taken to this? How have the boys on the or the men on the guys' side brought you in?
Yeah, my softball teammates are all up for it. They were so excited when I went to go pitch last Sunday, and you know they were running down to the field to go watch me warm up and stuff. They were really excited, and you know the baseball team. I walked in the bullpen, and the whole pitching staff ran down to the bullpen to, you know, they were so excited. Like everybody's just been so supportive on both teams.
They want to see what
she's
got. They want to see what you got.
Yeah.
Jillian, now you are on the U.S. Women's National Baseball Team. So, yeah, I mean, you've already obviously caught the eye of people and know that you can do this. I was also reading that you might have a chance to play for the Savannah Bananas. Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that something have you done that yet, or is that something that might be coming up?
I haven't done it yet. I'm waiting till my season's over to, you know, hopefully make some appearances this summer.
Well, this is a great, great story.
We have celebrity in our midst here, Tony.
No doubt about it. We certainly, you certainly got us in here in this studio pulling for you. Good luck the rest of the way. Good luck this weekend and your next attempt to have another scoreless inning of baseball. And we'll be paying a lot of attention, Jillian. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
Good luck, Jillian.
That's awesome, man.
Really good.
I don't think people understand that how difficult that is.
I don't understand how many inroads young ladies are starting to make into the game of baseball. Like I haven't been able to. I haven't really kept up with that. I remember the young lady Monique
Davis,
who was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. That seemed like it was 10, 12 years ago now.
It might have been now.
Maybe. And you know, and I remember her.
I saw her on TV recently for some reason.
Right, but she was pitching in the Little League World Series, but I never really saw a whole lot after that. But I'm going to get in trouble if I say this, so I won't. It's hard to picture women being able to play professional at the highest level with men. I'm sorry, it just is at this point in our world. But could I could maybe see somebody pitching, Tony? I don't know. She throws 98 miles an hour and her breaking ball falls off the table. What do they care if she's getting them out?
Baseball's unique in that it's a really skilled game.
Yeah.
Where you don't necessarily have to be the best athlete, strongest athlete. I don't know. I'll never say never. We haven't seen it in any of the other sports. I know we've experimented with tennis a little bit. But I don't
know. Tried Annika Sorenstam playing some golf many years ago.
I don't know that that was at the, I mean, it's at the highest level, but not against necessarily the best of the best, right?
Right. No,
and
I
in golf, you're playing more against a course than you are against other individuals. So I don't know. I'll never say never. It's certainly, you certainly.
I think that's a good way to term it. You never say never.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody like this, you know, can do something like that. She's going to pitch for the crazy Savannah Bananas. What do you? I've seen the videos. They dance. They hoot and holler.
This is not a Chris thing.
I can't get into it either.
I know, but they actually do play some baseball. Like you have to be able
are
to throw
like
the ball.
Are they like a minor league team?
They're a team.
Like is it? I mean, if the fans catch your foul ball and you're out, I don't know if I can consider that baseball.
Is that
man.
True?
Yes.
Okay, that's not true. Yeah.
Yes,
that's kind of crazy.
Like, the pitcher goes into the windup, and the second baseman and the shortstop do a dance. It's really weird to me.
If I throw a ball into the stands and someone catches it, I'm out.
Yeah, you're quitting.
I'm done.
I mean, you got basically a zero batting average if that's happening. It's already bad enough to pop out to the catcher.
Into the stands? Like
I just want to correct one thing. It's Monet Davis.
Monet, thank you.
What
did
you say?
That's right.
Monique?
I said Monet.
Oh, yeah.
I just
want
to get corrected before
that's good.
I got a bunch of emails about.
It was a long time ago. But, you know, I'm glad to see that, you know, our minds are open enough out there. You know, where you say, hey, she can pitch for me. She can pitch for me. And obviously she can do it. I mean, all CIF tells me that she was at pretty much one of the higher levels of high school baseball, Tony. She made, you know, all CIF. It wasn't like, you know, I don't know what her school was in Anaheim, but 20-0,
I
don't give you all CIF if you're not good.
I feel like if you're going to see it, it's going to be pitching, I feel like.
Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, because you think of a Jamie Moyer who wasn't the hard, he was getting people out.
That's right.
So Kyle
Hendricks until yesterday. Kyle always gets people out.
Kyle was,
but they got him yesterday.
Thankfully they got him yesterday.
That was nice. That was good to interview. She seems like a nice young lady. And
I love the fact that she's
by the way
to compete.
Kirk was the guy on this story for the San Diego Union Tribune a few days ago. So it's kind of getting to be national news now.
Sorry, Kirk. We went around you on this one, buddy.
We went
straight to the source.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, very good. That's exciting. Cal State San Marcos is doing some things in sports. They made the Final Four in women's basketball also this year. Had a heartbreaking loss there.
What Scraby's not paying attention
there?
To the show.
No,
I'm
training Nick.
He's teaching right now.
I mean, Nick doesn't need much training. He just needs to know how we run the show. Why are you staring at me like an alien?
You know
Chris?
Who didn't know how to run the show today when he sat in your chair?
Oh, Chris Ello? I heard.
I heard. In your chair this morning.
He was over there messing with buttons to the point we couldn't hear him talk.
You know how bad it got? Tony Gwynn Jr. reached over and straightened one of my buttons out. Now, that tells you how far off course I was.
See, Tony, at least when he's on the road, he goes into radio studio, so he has to kind of run the board a little bit.
Yeah.
Why were you touching buttons?
Because I couldn't hear his mic volume and brought it down. And all of a sudden, it was like we couldn't hear him. I mean, he was talking. His mic was on.
I couldn't hear well enough, so I was messing with
like this.
It was a problem.
Well, what do you think now that you've sat in this chair? What's it like?
I want to just not sit in that chair anymore. That's what I think. So I think I'm going to sit right over here and stay comfortable.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. We got a few minutes. Do we want to do the Ohtani get into?
Let's wait. I do have a little bit more information. We were told in the chat it was over $100 million bet, but according to some reports.
$16
million stolen.
Stolen, right.
But he's apparently, they're reporting he's won more than $140 million, but he's also bet more than $180 million.
So he hasn't won anything.
$40 million in the hole. Yeah,
most people that have won $100 million have lost $200 million.
Right.
Yeah.
He's in the hole, is what you're telling
me. They usually are.
People want us to introduce Nick. Do we want to?
I don't know. You're the
producer.
Here.
Come on over here.
What
Nick.
Do they want to meet him for?
And they said Chris Ello was the nicest guy.
See, I had him
that
fooled
was,
yesterday.
That was low-hanging fruit right there. Right, you had to say that.
Just say hi to all the listeners and tell them what you do here.
Hey, everyone. My name's Nick. I work. I do Padres board operating. So whenever you hear Padres game, I'm usually the one behind the board, making sure everything fires out on time, making sure Jesse and Tony Gwynn Jr. or Scanlon, whoever's there, sound good.
I must say, Scraby, nice job, now that you know Nick is revealed what he does.
Yeah.
Where is this
We
going?
Haven't had any, like, mess-ups in a while Padres radio.
You're right. You guys have the crew, the best crew.
We do. Between him, Maddie, Frank, they do.
Hamby, I think, is getting
is
in
Hamby
the mix.
Is Hamby doing it, too?
He's getting in the mix, yeah.
Yeah, man. We've been, it's the board ops have been on it.
It's a job that's bigger than one person. There's no question about it.
Oh, yeah. It is a job bigger. But I will always tell the story of the time where I was running the board and Ted Leitner called for a legal. It was game like 142 and I missed the legal. I went to commercial break and then Dave comes on going, legal, legal, legal. So I pull down the commercials and I do the legal and then Ted comes back and says, game 142 here in studio or here at the Petco Park, game one back in studio.
Don't leave Ted an opening.
I deserved it.
Don't ever leave Ted an opening.
I'm laughing not because of what Ted said, but the fact that Dave was the fact that he was doing that means he was probably getting a business.
Well, because I'm just back here like, hey, everybody, let's talk. Oh, we're going to break here. And I hear Dave down the line panicking. Anyway.
That's hilarious. All right, let's get to break. Daily Gambit on the other side of this 2 o'clock hour because it'll be 3 o'clock. More Gwen and Chris on the way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
2:41 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, Gwynn and Chris. Just finished. We were supposed to talk about Ohtani. I don't know that we didn't get into it too much. We never really got into it that much, but we'll have to put all that aside for a sec for our next guest. Jillian Albiotti joins us on Gwynn and Chris. She pulled off a tremendous feat over the weekend, played in a softball game, pitched in a baseball game, collegiate baseball game, and we felt like she deserved a platform today to come on here and talk to us a little bit about it, because this is an awesome, awesome feat. Jillian, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Thank you guys so much for having me.
So has this been something at the top of your list in terms of wanting to accomplish? I am amazed at you being able to pull this off. This is really fascinating.
Yeah, this has definitely been like one of my goals for my baseball career, and I'm glad I've been able to achieve it.
Well, if you guys are wondering, she played for the softball team on Sunday, and she normally plays third base, does some pitching. And then the baseball team was short going into their baseball game. Some players were hurt, and her softball manager said, hey, you guys ought to bring Jillian in to pitch. And they did, and it was a smart move.
Yeah.
I'm looking at some of her numbers. She was an all-CIF pitcher with a 20-0 career high school record and a 1.68 ERA. I'm glad I didn't have to hit against her. Jillian, you want to softball has always been there for the young ladies. Sounds to me like you're really interested in trying to blaze the trail for baseball. I don't want to say one over the other, but how important for you to try and make some more inroads in baseball for women?
Yeah, I think it's like a big thing for me. It's something that's really special for me to get the opportunity to go out there and compete. It's something I've always dreamed of. It's been one of my goals, and I think it's just amazing about like what women can do in sports and women in baseball as well. It's just growing and growing and growing.
Seems like that's really the case across sports you know, all across sports, at least in the women's area, seems like everything is starting to finally get the notoriety it deserves. Jillian, now, do you pitch in softball as well?
No, I've never pitched in softball.
Okay, so you play position softball, you pitch on the baseball mound. What's your repertoire in terms of what pitches do you throw?
So I got a fastball that likes to cut, and then I got a curveball and a changeup.
Wow.
Now, when did you get interested in pitching, and who was it who kind of brought you aside and said, you know, I think you ought to do a little pitching, and we're not talking softball, Jillian, we want you in baseball. Who kind of put that thought in your head?
Well, I've always played baseball my whole life. I've been playing it since I was like 3 years old, so it's all I've ever known. Okay. You know, I barely started playing softball my junior year of high school, but still continued to do baseball as well. So I think it's just all I've ever known. I started pitching when I was like 8 years old, so it's always been there. It wasn't something that was brand new to me.
Now, Jillian, what's next now? What's the schedule look like for you this coming weekend? Are you going to have another opportunity to pitch in a baseball game this weekend, or what does your schedule look like?
So I just got told right after practice today that I made the roster to travel this weekend to Cal Poly Pomona.
Wow. That's awesome.
So yeah, and we're also traveling for softball, so I'll be at softball Friday, Saturday, and head over Saturday night to Pomona.
Jillian Albiati, man, she's the first woman Division II ever to play both softball and baseball the same day at Cal State and San Marcos right here in her backyard. Jillian, it's a hard question to ask, but as a young lady pitcher, did you ever feel like there were some extra eyes upon you and people saying, you know, and you feeling like maybe you had to prove to other people, hey, look, just don't look at me as a young lady, just look at me as a pitcher?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, going out there, you're like the only girl on the team. Obviously, I've gotten used to it over the years. It's become my normal. But there's always going to be extra eyes on you. You know, people are always watching. But I just go out there and I'm just like a baseball player. I just go out there and want to play, want to throw, want to win. You know, it's not like I'm going out there to throw strikes and not just to prove like that, oh, I'm a girl, I can do it, but like I've worked really hard to and put in the extra work to prove that I am capable of, you know, competing.
Jillian Albiati joins us here on Gwen and Chris. 2:46 on the clock. Jillian, how do your teammates take to this? How have your softball teammates taken to this? How have the boys on the or the men on the guys side brought you in?
Yeah, my softball teammates are all up for it. They were so excited when I went to go pitch last Sunday, and you know, they were running down to the field to go watch me warm up and stuff. They were really excited, and you know, the baseball team, I walked in the bullpen and the whole pitching staff ran down to the bullpen to, you know, they were so excited. Like, everybody's just been so supportive on both teams.
They want to see what she's got. They want to see what you got.
Yeah.
Jillian, now you are on the U.S. Women's National Baseball Team. So, yeah, I mean, you've already obviously caught the eye of people and know that you can do this. I was also reading that you might have a chance to play for the Savannah Bananas. Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that something have you done that yet, or is that something that might be coming up?
I haven't done it yet. I'm waiting till my season's over to, you know, hopefully make some appearances this summer.
Well, this is a great, great story.
We have celebrity in our midst here,
Tony. No doubt about it. We certainly, you certainly got us in here in this studio pulling for you. Good luck the rest of the way. Good luck this weekend and your next attempt to have another scoreless inning of baseball. And we'll be paying a lot of attention, Jillian. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
Good luck, Jillian.
That's awesome, man.
Really good.
I don't think people understand that how difficult that is.
I don't understand how many inroads young ladies are starting to make into the game of baseball. Like, I haven't been able to. I haven't really kept up with that. I remember the young lady Monique
Davis,
who was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. That seemed like it was 10, 12 years ago now.
It might have been now.
Maybe. And you know, and I remember her.
I saw her on TV recently for some reason.
Right, but she was pitching in the Little League.
World Series, but I never really saw a whole lot after that. But
I think she went on
to
play.
Do you think we could? I mean, there's. I'm going to get in trouble if I say this, so I won't. It's hard to picture women being able to play professional at the highest level with men. I'm sorry, it just is at this point in our world. But could I could maybe see somebody pitching, Tony? I don't know. She throws 98 miles an hour and her breaking ball falls off the table. What do they care if she's getting them out?
Baseball's unique in that it's a really skilled game.
Yeah.
Where you don't necessarily have to be the best athlete, strongest athlete. I don't know. I'll never say never. We haven't seen it in any of the other sports. I know we've experimented with tennis a little bit. But I don't
tried
know that,
Annika Sorenstam playing some golf many years ago.
I don't know that was at the, I mean, it's at the highest level, but not against necessarily the best of the best, right?
Right. No, I know.
In golf, you're playing more against a course than you are against other individuals. So I don't know. I'll never say never. I
think that's a good way to term it. You never say never.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody like this, you know, can do something like that. She's going to pitch for the crazy Savannah Bananas. I've seen the videos. They dance. They hoot and holler.
This is not a Chris thing.
I can't get into it either.
I know, but they actually do play some baseball. Like, you have to be able to throw
the
ball.
Are they like a minor league team?
They're a team.
I mean, if the fans catch your foul ball and you're out, I don't know if I can consider that baseball.
Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, that's true? Yeah.
Yes.
That's kind of crazy.
Like, the pitcher goes into the windup and the second baseman and the shortstop do a dance. It's really weird to me.
If I foul a ball into the stands and someone catches it, I'm out.
Yeah, you're quitting.
I'm done.
I mean, you got basically a zero batting average if that's happening. It's already bad enough to pop out to the catcher.
Into the stands? Like,
I just want to correct one thing. It's Monet Davis.
Monet, thank you. Yes, that's right.
I said Monique. Oh, yeah. I just wanted to get it corrected before I got a bunch of emails.
It was a long time ago. But, you know, I'm glad to see that, you know, our minds are open enough out there. You know, where you say, hey, she can pitch for me. She can pitch for me. And obviously she can do it. I mean, all CIF tells me that she was at pretty much one of the higher levels of high school baseball, Tony. She made, you know, all CIF. It wasn't like, you know, I don't know what her school was in Anaheim, but 20-0, they don't give you all CIF
if you're not good. If you're going to see it, it's going to be pitching, I feel like.
Maybe.
I mean, because you think of a Jamie Moyer who wasn't the hard, he was getting people out.
That's right.
So
Kyle Hendricks until yesterday. Kyle always gets people out.
Kyle was,
but they got him yesterday.
Thankfully, they got him yesterday.
That was nice. That was good to interview. She seems like a nice young lady. And
I love the fact she just wants to compete.
Kirk was the guy on this story for the San Diego Union-Tribune a few days ago. So it's kind of getting to be national news now.
Sorry, Kirk. We went around you on this one, buddy.
We went
straight to the source.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, very good. That's exciting. Cal State San Marcos is doing some things in sports. They made the Final Four in women's basketball also this year. Had a heartbreaking loss there.
Scraby's not paying attention to the show.
I'm training Nick.
He's teaching right now.
I mean, Nick doesn't need much training. He just needs to know how we run the show. Why are you staring at me like I'm an alien?
You know
Chris?
Who didn't know how to run the show today when he sat in your chair?
Oh, Chris Ello? I heard.
I heard your chair this morning.
He was over there messing with buttons to the point we couldn't hear him talk.
You know how bad it got? Tony Gwynn Jr. reached over and straightened one of my buttons out. Now, that tells you how far off course I was.
See, Tony, at least when he's on the road, he goes into radio studio, so he has to kind of run the board a little bit.
Yeah.
Why were you touching buttons?
Because I couldn't hear his mic volume and brought it down. And all of a sudden, it was like we couldn't hear him. I mean, he was talking. His mic was on.
I couldn't hear well enough, so I was messing
like this.
It was a problem.
What do you think now that you've sat in this chair? What's it like?
I want to just not sit in that chair anymore. That's what I think. So I think I'm going to sit right over here and stay comfortable.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. We got a few minutes. Do we want to do the Ohtani get into?
Let's wait. I do have a little bit more information. We were told in the chat it was over $100 million bet, but according to some reports...
$16
million stolen.
Stolen, right.
But he's apparently, they're reporting he's won more than $140 million, but he's also bet more than $180 million.
So he hasn't won anything.
$40 million in the hole. Yeah,
most people that have won $100 million have lost $200 million.
Right, right.
Yeah.
He's in the hole, is what you're telling
me. They usually are.
People want us to introduce Nick. Do we want to?
I don't know. You're the producer.
Come on over here.
What
Nick.
Do they want to meet him for?
And they said Cristela was the nicest guy.
See, I had him
that
fooled
was,
yesterday.
That was low-hanging fruit right there. Right, you Nick, had
just,
to say that.
Just say hi to all the listeners and tell them what you do here.
Hey, everyone. My name's Nick. I work, I do Padres board operating. So whenever you hear Padres game, I'm usually the one behind the board, making sure everything fires out on time, making sure Jesse and Tony Gwynn Jr. or Scanlon, whoever's there, sound good.
I must say, Scraby,
nice job,
now that, you know, Nick has revealed what he does.
Yeah. Where is this
We
going?
Haven't had any, like, mess-ups in a while Padres radio.
You're right. You guys have the crew, the best crew.
We do. Between him, Maddie, Frank, they do.
Hamby, I think, is getting
is
in
Hamby
the mix.
Is Hamby doing it,
He's
too?
He's getting in the mix, yeah.
Yeah, man. We've been it's board, a job the board ops have been on it.
It's a job that's bigger than one person. There's no question about it.
Oh, yeah. It is a job bigger. But I will always tell the story of the time where I was running the board and Ted Leitner called for a legal. It was game like 142 and I missed the legal. I went to commercial break and then Dave comes on going legal, legal, legal. So I pull down the commercials and I do the legal and then Ted comes back and says game 142 here in studio or here at the Petco Park. Game one back in studio.
Don't leave Ted an opening.
I deserved it.
Don't ever leave
it.
Ted an Which opening.
Is, I'm laughing not because of what Ted said but the fact that Dave was the fact that he was doing that means he was probably getting a business.
Well, because I'm just back here like, hey, everybody, let's talk. Oh, we're going to break here. And I hear Dave down the line panicking.
Anyway. That's hilarious. All right, let's get to break. Daily Gambit on the other side of this 2 o'clock hour because it'll be 3 o'clock. More Gwen and Chris on the way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.